All right. Hi. This is a remake of a short video I just made streaming on YouTube, but streaming wasn't good at all. So this is a short remake of that basically same message, but maybe with some new overtones. Again, the theme is the immutability of God is the anchor of our assurance. And the thought was that, you know, we're fickle, ambivalent, we're sinful, we continue to sin daily. Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we must have a sure anchor for our assurance, you know, for our soul, for our hope. What is your hope? And my thesis was a couple of days ago, the first video on Malachi 3:6, that it must be grounded in the same immutability of God that is there, you know, and the verse read, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And so this immutability or changelessness or changeableness of God is our sure hope, that he won't change his mind, he won't fly the handle, won't get mad at you and kick you out of his kingdom. You know, that this doctrine of God's immutability is not a, you know, just a lofty academic teaching. It has very practical implications. And, I use the illustration of the, well-meant offer of the gospel or free offer, that concept presents a different God than the God of the Bible, because the God of the free offer or the well-meant offer of the gospel, there are two terms that mean the same thing, present a very mutable deity which pleads with the old man, which offers salvation in Christ Jesus and his righteousness to old man, and seemingly expresses his goodwill towards all man, that, you know, not wanting that any should perish and so forth, that even their understanding of such passages as 2 Peter 3:9, that not wishing that any should perish, that long-suffering towards us. Now, the orthodox understanding of that verse, that he is long-suffering to usward, not wishing that any of us should perish, that, but that all of us, i.e. elect of all ages, all times, should come to repentance. Instead of that, they kind of extend it to everybody. And so that in the so-called free offer, God is making this plea to all men. And in there, in that offer, he expresses his temporary love. Even Charles Hodge, I believe, explained the hatred towards Esau in Romans 9, that Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Even Charles Hodge explained that hatred is loving less or loving temporarily. Now, this is gibberish, of course. I mean, imagine that. Imagine if it were so. Imagine if the God of the free offer, the well-meant offer, was a scripture God. We would have absolutely no hope. I mean, how can you be sure that this same God, well, first of all, the free offer God, so he's pleading, he's offering his salvation and so forth. He's waiting for men to come to Christ and so forth. And many of them don't. I mean, we know that some don't, and many, in fact, majority don't ever. So then they die. And as it is appointed on a man wants to die and then judgment, and then what? And then he's temporary, short time goodwill and favor and even love is turned or mutated into an everlasting hatred and punishment in hell. So that's no basis for assurance. I mean, how do you know that he's not doing the same with you? He's kind of playing with you, waiting that you get better, maybe tomorrow, that your behavior wasn't that good today, but hopefully you'll show enough of evangelical obedience tomorrow, the day after, and hopefully kind of get to the end, or by fruits of your obedience, as John Piper, that you'll enter the kingdom on those fruits of evangelical obedience. if your assurance is based on works, of course you're going to perish. But see, if you're not grounded in this vital doctrine of God's immutable love towards his elect, you'll have very little assurance. I mean, what if he gets mad at you tomorrow? What if your love, he says, well, I'm tired of loving you, but you're no good and so forth. And we are no good if we think soberly about ourselves. And there's another aspect that I wanted to point out very quickly. The Malachi 3:6 in that verse, it says that, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And we also know from the book of Exodus, appearance of God's glory on the mount is the consuming fire. And the same thought is repeated in the book of Hebrews, that our God is a consuming fire. Now, you're not consumed. At the same time, our God is also, who's immutable, who changes not, this God is a consuming fire forever. This fire is burning continuously, which is a picture of his holy wrath, which is burning with this flaming fire, a hot furnace heated 7 times. It is against sin, against our sin as well. So the point I'm trying to make is that it's not that he's kind of oblivious, that he's not, well, okay, I'll just look the other way. He's mindful of your sin. And the sin, he cannot stand sin. His hot anger is burning forever, but you're not consumed. And the only reason that you're not consumed, well, first of all, that his love is everlasting, but how it is realized in time is that Christ, the Son of Man, is in that same furnace of his hot anger. And because of his presence, the three young men are not consumed. Okay? So the burning wrath is there. Okay? And his love is also there. And they meet together in Christ Jesus. So Christ takes upon himself all of this eternal, everlasting wrath against your sin. And you, being in him, in Christ, are getting his love, which is everlasting, and it never changes, okay? And this is the ground of our hope, of our assurance, okay? I don't want to make it too long, just a fruitful thought for you sports fans. So may God bless you all. Bye-bye.